Hey, and good morning. Welcome to Faith Point. We're glad that you're here this weekend. It is great to see you this morning. What an amazing week we have had weather-wise, right? On Thursday, it was in the 60s, and now we have snow and ice, and it's stinking cold. The joys of winters in Indiana, right? So, I want to be honest with you as we get started this morning. I had fully intended on picking back up in the message series that we left off last fall, before we kind of jumped into our Christmas series called Words of Christmas, I had fully intended in jumping back in where we were, working our way through the New Testament book of Galatians. When we left off, we were finishing up chapter 3, getting ready to move into chapter 4. It's only 6 chapters, so we were on a great target, and I was super excited about sharing our continuing journey with you through Galatians, because it has so much to teach us and to remind us about the good news. As in Galatians 2:16 tells us how we are made right with God by faith through grace in Christ. We are made right with God by grace through faith in Christ alone, and is apart from the law. But as I was working on this message, kind of digging into the text, I was also multitaskers. Any other multitaskers out there? By the way, science says it doesn't work, but we all do it anyways. And I was multitasking because, see, at the beginning of a new year, one of the things that I have to do is that for our denomination, I have to compile statistics. That I have to look at the last year and kind of set goals for the coming year. I call it looking back, looking now, looking forward. So in the church, we look at things like worship attendance. Did we go up? Did we go down? Did we remain the same? How'd we do? We look at giving and expenses. How did we do financially? We look at things like changes in membership. Do we have more people coming? Do we have more people joining the church and signing on the dotted line? We look at things like involvement in small groups and Bible studies. And we look at how people are involved in serve teams. Where are our faith pointers doing the work of God? We look at how we did in Kids Point and The Point. We look at missions and outreach. Wasn't that a great celebration that we had last week, hearing some of the stories about what God has done through us and some of our mission initiatives from 2017? We do all this so we can evaluate where we've been, how we're doing, and where we're going. Well, we'll be sharing more of those 2017 highlights with you in the coming weeks, but generally speaking, 2017 was a really good year for us. We finished the year with an average worship attendance of 148. That's up from 137 in 2016. So on any given weekend, just like today, on any given weekend, 148 children, youth, and adults are here for Sunday morning ministries. That means that we are reaching more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. We have more people than ever before calling Faith Point their church, their home, their family. And that is such a terrific thing in a high view. But when we get into the details, when we look at individual or family worship attendance, the numbers reflect a condition that I think affects many of us. And this place that I have been just kind of feeling this angst that God wanted us to talk about this morning. And I call it the drift. The drift. The Cambridge Dictionary defines drift as to move slowly, especially as a result of outside forces with no control over direction, or someone or something that drifts, changes in a gradual way that seems to be controlled by outside forces. Now, the drift happens in every area of life. We can drift momentarily in things like our attention spans. How often have you been talking to somebody, you're looking at them face to face, and all of a sudden you realize you have no idea what they were talking to you about? You just kind of took a little mental vacation. You drifted. We can drift relationally. How often and easily does that happen? How many people, family and friends, have you been meaning to get in touch with or connect up with that you haven't connected up with in a long time, and yet you still seem to not have taken the time or made the time to do it? We can drift physically. The slope from health to unhealth is a slippery one that affects many of us. How many of us have found our pants a little tighter, the belt a little smaller, or the shirt a little snugger? We can drift intellectually. Do you realize our brains need to be constantly fed with things that keep us sharp, that keep us growing? So when was the last time you read a book or learned something new or took a class? We can also drift spiritually. We can find our faith faltering, our study less stimulating, or our commitment less motivating. And that's what I want us to think about and talk about this morning a little bit. That what does it mean for us to drift spiritually? As we begin this new year, as many of us are looking back, looking now, looking forward, what does it take for us to kind of re-engage, re-up? Have we, in fact, any of us begun to drift spiritually? When we think about what it means to drift in a spiritual context, it seems to me that we could define spiritual drift by simply adding on to a few words from the Cambridge Dictionary that we looked at just a minute ago. Because you see, to drift spiritually is to move slowly, especially as a result of outside forces, with no control over direction, away from Christ and or his church. Or to drift spiritually is someone or something that drifts, changes in a gradual way that seems to be controlled by outside forces away from Christ and or his church. And the difficulty with drifting, it seems to me, is that it is so often subtle and it is so often unintentional. In other words, it just happens. We don't intend to drift spiritually. We don't intend to drift relationally. We don't intend to drift intellectually. We don't intend to drift physically. It just happens. So we don't intend to drift spiritually. It's not like one day we wake up and say, hey, I think I will begin drifting away from my relationship with Jesus and his church. But it happens all too frequently for all too many of us. And like the other drifts that affect us, the truth is we generally don't see it coming. We don't see it happening. We often don't even know that it happened until something or someone helps us to realize we're not where we used to be. We're not where we want to be. Or we're not where we need to be. And unfortunately, as Robert Robinson acknowledges in his hymn titled, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing, great hymn from the 1700s, he reflects our human condition. In this hymn, look at these lyrics with me. Come thou font of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Awesome, right? That's verse one. Now look at the words in verses 2 and 3 that start out with the gospel and then point out the human condition. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. You see, when we dig into the pages of Scripture, we see this idea of spiritually drifting over and over and over again. We see things like Deuteronomy 6:12 that says, be careful not to forget the Lord. Or Deuteronomy 8:11, beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees. We're told that we must listen carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it, the writer of Hebrews says. Or a little bit later in Hebrews, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this how? By keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Jesus words it a little bit more pointedly, I think, because he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So in the short term, recognizing the fact that drifting is a part of the human condition, We may not think too much about drifting. After all, we all do it, right? Well, pastor and author David Wilkerson acknowledges the drift. He says that even the most devoted believer can begin drifting from the slightest neglect. Key words there. From the slightest neglect. When do we begin to drift physically? The slightest neglect. When do we begin to drift intellectually? From the slightest neglect. When do we begin to drift emotionally or relationally? From the slightest neglect. Because you see, the danger with drifting is this. Most drifters don't see the danger ahead. And while most of us don't want to acknowledge it, there are potentially some severe consequences to our drifting spiritually. The first is this, that drifting spiritually can create deep and wide ripples that adversely impact you, your relationship with God, your relationship with others, and your family. I can't tell you how many relationships that I have personally grieved or watched people grieve as we've seen people drift away from Christ and his church. And here's what I've also noticed, that when we drift spiritually, when I drift spiritually, I am so more prone to be a complainer, to be critical, to compare myself to others. In other words, spiritual drifting creates divides, sometimes great divides between others and us, between God and us. Well, a second consequence of spiritual drifting is that spiritual drifting can lead people into volitional sin. I often talk about there's kind of a distinction between the conditional sin and the volitional sin. The conditional sin is a recognition that we have all sinned. We all fall far short of God's glorious standard. We are so dependent upon grace, and we are so grateful that God is the God of first and second and third and fourth chances. That just the human condition is that we are sinful people. But there's also a recognition that some sin is volitional. Is that we do it even when we know we're not supposed to do it. And the problem is that volitional sin destroys lives, breaks up families, and it impacts future generations. Again, I can't tell you how many people that I've seen throughout my ministry that have gotten enmeshed in sin simply because they drifted away from Christ or his church. And while they don't drift with an intentional purpose or plan of becoming more sinful, it is a consequence of not prioritizing our spiritual growth, or as parents, prioritizing the spiritual growth of our kids. A third severe consequence of spiritual drifting is that spiritual drifting can ultimately lead us to a place where we are unable to hear the voice of God say, "I love you." Yes, you heard me say that. Is that we can drift spiritually so far that we can reach the point where we don't hear the voice of God anymore saying, "I love you, come to me." And we have too many examples throughout history of people who have quite literally walked away from God. They drifted right out of their relationship with him. Now, most of us, I'm sure, would say, "Oh, that, George, that would never happen to me." But look at what Jesus says. "Keep watch and pray that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Or this admonition from 1 Corinthians 10:12. "If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall." So whether we like it or not, the reality is that spiritual drifting is real. So just as it's beneficial for us to look back, look now, and look forward, and evaluate the prior year, I think it's also beneficial, essentially really, for us to look back, look now, and look forward in regards to our spiritual life. As we stand here in January 14th, are we setting ourselves up for success? Are we setting ourselves up to grow deeper and stronger in our relationship with Jesus? Are we setting ourselves up to fail? Are we where we want to be? Are we where we need to be? Or better yet, are we where God wants us to be? Do we recognize that we might not be where we used to be? Do we recognize that we're not where we need to be? Do we recognize do we not recognize where we want to be? In business and industry, when an organization discovers that it is out of balance or that something has gone wrong or something's awry, something is not what they hoped for or what they planned for, they often do this process called root cause analysis, RCA. RCA is a tool that is designed to help people identify not only what and how an event or situation occurred, but also why it happened and what do you do about it. Because only when investigators are able to determine why an event or failure occurred will they be able to specify workable corrective measures that prevent future events of the type observed. So in root cause analysis, an organization seeks to do several things. To define the problem, what's going on. To collect the data needed to analyze the situation. To identify possible causal factors. How do we get to where we are? To narrow down and identify the root cause. To recommend and identify solutions. Isn't it interesting how this same process we could use personally if we feel like we're drifting away from God? Step one, that's easy. We know the problem, sin. We can analyze the situation by simply reading the Bible. We can see who we are, sinners in desperate need of and totally dependent upon a Savior. And we can identify any vast number of causal factors for spiritual drift. I made a list of just a few of them that I came up with, and quite honestly, have impacted me and my life, and I wonder if they have yours. Things like discouragement, disappointment, distractions, disagreements. Have you been adrift because of fears or failures or faults or friendships? Have you gotten yourself adrift because of habits? Because of hurts, because of health, or maybe because of hobbies. You see, we can drift because of what we're doing or what we have done. We can also drift because of what others are doing or have done. Truth be told, I think we could come up with a pretty extensive list of spiritual drift causal factors. But in the time that we have left, I want to mention two that I think encompass most, if not all of the causes of spiritual drift. And then give what I hope are some suggestions that will help reorient us or someone we know back to Christ or his church if they've become adrift. The first, I think, is busyness. You could also call it an out-of-control schedule. Anybody been there? I am convinced that this is one of the devil's greatest schemes against our generation. We are busy people. We are constantly running from one place to another, filling our calendars with one more thing. How many times have you find yourself saying, I wish I had more time? The pace and busyness of life, work, hobbies, families, and activities, it seems to increase. I can't tell you how many times I've heard myself say, when things slow down. What do you know about that? They are not going to slow down unless I make them slow down, right? The subtlety of this one, I think, is profound because most of the things that we're doing aren't inherently bad. In fact, many of them are pretty good. But here's the problem. We often sacrifice the best things in life by spending time doing the things that are just pretty good. Chip Ingram puts it this way. He says, it's an amazing thing. When I drift away from God, my schedule gets busier and busier and fuller and fuller. Can we like just stop there for a second? Can we just like look at those words and maybe internalize that just a little bit? Because I know that is so true for me. Is that it is amazing when we drift away from God how our schedules get busier and busier and fuller and fuller. He goes on to say, see, no one wakes up and says, you know something? You know, God's been so good to me. He loves me. He's restored relationships. He's done such a work of grace in my life. I never knew what peace was. I've got forgiveness. I've got purpose. He used me in the lives of other people. Today would be a good day just to drop out. You know, I think I'll just quit the Christian life today. No one wakes up and does that. You do it by little, tiny degrees. And I think one of the easiest ways for us to do that is busyness. Busyness, I am convinced, is one of the greatest causes of spiritual drift in our world today. The second, I'm calling competing affections. Like busyness, I think this is one of the great arsenals at the devil's disposal. And also like busyness, I think this one comes up on us so artfully, because having affections for something we like to do, like a hobby, a sport, an activity, isn't inherently bad. The bad comes in when competing affections adversely affect our spiritual involvement and development or the spiritual growth of our family. And so we have warnings in scripture like this from 1 John 2:15. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Or this from Jesus. Don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Or this one. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve and be enslaved to money. Now, while Jesus used this in an illustration of money, the principle he was getting at was much bigger than money. And the bigger is this: what gets our attention gets us. What gets our affection gets us. However you word it, the effect is the same. And I can't tell you how many people have been quite literally lured away from Christ and his church because they've fallen in love with the things of this world or the activities that have no eternal merit. Again, they're things that aren't inherently bad. In fact, many of them are things that bring us a lot of enjoyment. But they're things that slowly, deceitfully, almost unrecognizably cause us to drift away from Christ and his church. So what do you do if you're sitting there this morning and you hear the words, "That's me"? What do you say to a loved one, a friend, a colleague who you see has begun to drift? Because I think we have either all heard that, or maybe some of us are hearing it right now. What do we do if we have begun to drift spiritually? Three words: reboot, recalibrate, or re-up. Reboot, recalibrate, or re-up. First one, reboot. We get this word from computers, right? You know what it means, right? Turn it off, turn it back on again. Sometimes, whether in computers, smartphones, or life, we literally have to stop what we're doing and start again. Begin afresh. Get rid of the things that are causing us to drift. Eliminate them permanently or for a season so we can be where we want to be. Or better yet, be where God wants us to be. And the good news is that our God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. So the first word, reboot. Maybe you just need to stop. Look where you are, look where you've been, and where you want to be. And maybe you got to start afresh. The second word is recalibrate. Maybe you just need a little course correction. Maybe your life has felt like you've been driving and you've gotten too far off to the edge and you hear the because you just drifted off the road. And you just need to recalibrate a little bit. Maybe you've begun to drift, but you haven't drifted so far that you need a rescue. You simply need to reprioritize, reorient the direction you're headed. I think this involves making the main thing the main thing. That expression was so overused lots of years ago, but it's such a good expression today. Are you making the main thing the main thing? Maybe this is something you can do on your own. Or as I was talking to somebody at the beginning of our service, maybe this is something you invite others to help with you. That you get some accountability, you get some encouragement, you get some support from the people around you. You have people around you who will be just truthful with you, who will be honest with you, who say, hey, I see, or I've seen, how are you doing with that? Hey, I missed you. Hey, I love you. How are we doing? Because sometimes we just need to recalibrate a little bit. We need to kind of retune. We need to fine-tune things to get in where they need to be. The writer of Hebrews encourages us with these words. He says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. Why do you think he wrote that, besides the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write it? I think he wrote it because our writer knows that the devil wants to divide and conquer. We're at our weakest when we're alone, or even loosely connected to Christ and his community. We're at our weakest. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, you just might want to write that reference down. It's not going to be on the screen, but this morning as I was just kind of going through this, God just took me back to this one, where he says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. We can reboot, we can recalibrate, or the third word is to re-up. Re-up. Maybe you are in a good place this morning. Maybe you are saying, man, I feel like I'm in a good place. I'm starting the year well. I've got some spiritual disciplines that I'm working on. I'm going to start working out. I'm going to try to eat better. I'm going to improve myself intellectually and relationally and emotionally. I'm recognizing that I'm a whole person. And so I need to get some of these things in line so I can have a better 2018 than I did in 2017. That maybe I just need, like, I'm just at that place where maybe there's something a little bit more. And I think this re-up might describe where you are. Maybe you're at a place where it's just time to go deeper in your commitment to Christ and his church. Maybe you can join with the psalmist who prays, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Or take this encouragement from Oswald Sanders. I ask myself every 3 months, Sanders, are you more like Christ than you were 3 months ago? Are you more loving, more kind, more patient? If you have felt yourself beginning to drift spiritually, or if you have some people around you who love you enough to say, hey, I kind of sense that you've been drifting a little bit. Maybe it's time for you to reboot, to recalibrate, or to re-up. So we stand here looking back and looking now and looking forward on the new year. The new year is here. So a couple questions I have for you. How have you done in your journey with God over the past year? If you just take some time to actually think through that and say, how have I done in my journey with God over the last year? Let's narrow it down a little bit. How have I done the last few months? Maybe for some of us, we have to say, how have we been doing in the last few weeks? Have I begun to drift ever so slightly that it might not even be noticeable, but you're feeling it, you're sensing it, maybe you know it? How have you drifted? Now, how about tomorrow? Are you setting yourself up for success? Are you saying, I'm not where I want to be? I'm not where I need to be. And I know if I'm not where I want to be and where I need to be, I know that I am not where God wants me to be. You know who changes that, right? We do. That we stand here right on the edge to say, okay, I want to live my life closer to Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I want more of Jesus and less of me. I want to grow deeper and stronger in my relationship with Christ because life is hard and I can't make it on my own. And I need to lean into and depend on this relationship with Jesus and his church. And so maybe again, just the question this morning is, how's your drift? Are there areas of your life that have just begun to not be where they need to be? Are there places in your life that you need to reboot, that you've drifted, that you need to stop and start again? Again, the good news of Jesus is that he's the God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. Or maybe you just need to recalibrate a little bit. You've allowed other things to distract you and to disorient you. That you need to figure out how to make your faith, your spiritual growth, a greater priority. Or maybe you're doing really well, and you just sense God saying, okay, let's go a little bit deeper. I got something else in store for you. And so your 2018 is going to be stepping into places that you never stepped into before. That you might be trying things you've never tried before. That you might be going to places where you've never gone before. And it's in the midst of that place where you encounter Christ and where you grow deeper in your relationship with him. And at the end of 2018, and I say, how was your 2018? How was your journey with Jesus? Are you closer to Jesus now than you were at the 2018 beginning? And my prayer for you and for me is that we'd say yes. I am closer to Jesus today than I was a year ago. I'm closer to Jesus today than I was a few months ago. I'm closer to Jesus today than I was a few weeks ago. So I kind of started out at the beginning saying that I was multitasking and doing some things, and it felt like God was kind of leading me in this. Well, I also woke up at like 4 o'clock this morning. Kind of one of those, you have those nights where you just don't sleep. And I generally find that those are the kind of nights where I have like just some anxiousness inside of me. And I think what I sensed God saying to me in the midst of that, he said, okay, so George, so this is kind of for you. Because it's easy for me to drift spiritually too. It's easy for me to get caught up in the trappings of ministry and not to just be really centered on my relationship with Jesus. And I think it's the case for all of us. And so I just believe that God is calling us individually and as a community to really put him back in that place of prominence, to not allow the drift to drift us too far away, but to guide us and direct us into this place with Jesus.